Thank you for this word this day that comes from the book of Acts. Luke tells us a lot in these words this day. We hear them. You see, Pentecost, living in the power of the Spirit. Believers have gathered together after Jesus has returned to the Father. Not just the 12 disciples, but about 120 people are gathered. They are talking, remembering, praying, and wondering what is going to be next. And on the morning of Pentecost, they came out of the room and they started telling the people they met about Jesus. The streets were full of people, from many places, still hanging around from Passover. They're still in the country. And when each of them heard the witnesses speak, they heard it in their own language. That is, if they were allowing themselves that day to listen. Otherwise, all they heard was babbling, as shown by the remarks of some that said, "All I hear is they must be drunk." What was being told for the first time in full form, was the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the one who had come and lived and dwelt among us, and what it means for all people. But more than the words themselves, the words were being carried with power and authority by the Holy Spirit into the ears and the hearts of those who were listening. The power of the Holy Spirit was just going amongst them and landing upon them, and they were hearing it for the first time. About 3,000 new people joined their ranks that day. This was the first fruit of a new kind of harvest and the giving of the new covenant of grace that fulfills the covenant of the Torah. You see, the church at Pentecost was empowered. There are three things this morning that we're going to talk about. And the first one is the church is empowered for mission, to tell the story of God's love. To tell the story of God's love, that is the mission. That is our mission, to go and tell, here in Matthew's gospel, to go and tell others. So was the Spirit's presence something new? Oh no. You see, the Spirit had been working all along in those who listened. You see, the Spirit struck home powerfully in John the Baptist's village and came in full force upon Jesus at the baptism that began Jesus' public ministry. It became and dwelt among them. The Spirit, the dove was there. It landed upon him that day. Jesus was a man who was filled with the Spirit, and it showed in whatever he did, wherever he went, all the things. But Pentecost was the first day that the Spirit took hold of the followers of Christ as a body. It took hold of that body of believers, and it made them a body of believers. It was the first time the Spirit's raw power was there in all those who followed Christ, not just the 12. But the rest, people everywhere begin to feel it, begin to see it, begin to experience. Look at this. Pentecost images a reversal of the Tower of Babel, where a single language became a wide variety of languages, and the message of excess pride could no longer be heard or understood. One of the things that Acts leaves us with is that all people, from all sorts of places, from all walks of life, from every nook and cranny, from everywhere, all people hearing and understanding the message in their own language. In today's world, people of different languages communicate with each other all the time. But how much of it is meaningless babble? Even the people that you know, even the people that you understand really well, how much do you really hear? Does anyone have anything worth telling anymore? We hear so much stuff, sometimes it's overload. There's always something going on. Does anyone have anything worth telling us anymore? Perhaps only the message God wants to know. But most folks prefer what? To babble on. To babble. To talk. To make noise. To say something, whether it means anything or not. The second thing this morning is that the church is empowered for renewal, to live fully in the Spirit. Renewal, to live fully. Wow. Are we ready to be renewed? Who's ready for anything? People says, well, there's so much going on. Is there ever anything ready? Are we ready to be renewed? Another striking image of the Spirit comes from the prophet Ezekiel. This is one that we've heard about so many times. Ezekiel is a Jew in exile after Babylon had conquered and scattered his people. And he stands overlooking a valley of dried up dead bones. And he speaks and he says the word of God to them. And he says to them, Spirit, come across the valley. I need you, Lord. Can these bones live? Can they? The dead, dry bones come together. Oh my goodness, things begin to happen. Then there appears muscles and joints and skin. Soon whole bodies are formed, but they are still dead. They're still dead. They're laying out there, but they're still dead. They look like a new life, a new creature, but something's not happening. You see, they're still dead. Ezekiel calls on the wind. The wind, the breath, and the spirit in Hebrew language is the ruah, the breath of life, the spirit of life, the wind. And that's what happens today. Ezekiel calls on the wind for the breath to go into the dead bodies to make them alive. The spirit of God is what makes all life live. And it is what will bring God's people back home to once again live as a people. And so it was the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are accounts of a dead nation at the moment that it came back to life. A dead nation that finally heard with ears, new ears, and finally listened and saw when the wind, the breath of life, the ruah, the spirit of God was breathing to them in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, we have the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is upon the people. And sometimes we are like those prophets of the Old Testament, like the books that were written. We are a dead nation waiting for the breath of life to be breathed back into us. You see, the message for you and I of the Christian Pentecost is that the breath that makes life live was let loose among us by Jesus the Messiah. He let it loose. It went out rampant. It was upon them. Through this Jesus and His Spirit, He sent. Not only is death ultimately dead, but life comes more fully alive. You see, when you're dead, you're dead. Ultimately dead, it says. But guess what? Life becomes more fully alive when we allow the Spirit to dwell within us. When it happens, when it takes hold, when you become a new creature, when people say there's something different about you, you sound different, you act different, you look different. Not because you got a new haircut, not because you've lost weight or gained weight or whatever, not because you've done this, but say something about you that's different. Your demeanor's different. Things have happened. The third thing is the church is empowered for service. Oh, wow. The church is empowered for service. It's time to do. Some will find this story strange, intriguing, or perhaps just puzzling. They found it strange then, too. But the crowd of 3,000 found out something else that day. They discovered the reality of grace, the reality of God's grace. Sure, some in the crowd griped. Guess what? Some in the crowd's going to gripe today. Some debated. Oh, yes, some are going to think it out and figure it out and talk about it. Some went away unchanged, just like folks do every Sunday or every day of life. They hear the same thing. They go away unchanged. Many discovered that Pentecost holds the promise that God has something in store for us. That God has something new in store for you and me. That God's got something going on. That God is ready to do something new. You see, Pentecost says so much more to the Christian church today, to the Christian person today. When the church talks about itself, it uses the word ecclesiology. It's the study of the nature of the called out people of God. You see, but we think in terms far more personal than that. We don't like to think about everybody. We like to think about ourselves a little too much. You see, the church indeed is a called out people, but not called out to look at itself in a mirror, not called out to gloat about all the good things it has done, not called out to compare itself, and it's not called out certainly to criticize others. We are called out to serve. We are called out to go. We are called to do, to serve. From the earliest day until now, the church has been at its best when it sees beyond the limits of its four walls and into the homes, the streets, the businesses, and the neighborhoods where the needs are crying out. Where the need cries out for what? A word of grace, a word of care, a word of hope. We truly have our work cut out for us this day. Some have said the church is in its last days, and you can read about it all over the place. There's books written about it. There's blogs written about it. There's little snippets all the time. I get them all the time that come to me from books, from authors, from people that are talking, people that are discussing, from theologians, from scholars, people that are looking at church growth, people that are looking at decline. And everybody's got a different answer and a different thing. But there's always something. Something is always a happening. Have said that the church is in its last days. In other words, the church is no longer going to be. I disagree. I don't think the church is in its last days. I think the church is losing, and what we're going to do to get it back. We just need to put the mirror away from ourselves, and we need to get back to work. We need to get to doing something. Because if the church does that, she'll do just fine. If we start quit looking at ourselves so closely and looking at all the good things we've done, that we have done, look at what we need to be doing. What are we going to do? What are we doing? What have you done for someone lately? Years ago, Billy Graham preached a sermon, and he called this a little leap of faith, about a little girl that was trapped in a burning home in an upstairs room. Smoke was billowing from the room and the flames were getting closer and closer. Her father was outside standing on the ground, was not able to get back into the house, and he cried up to her. And he said, "Jump, my little girl, jump." And the little girl cried, "But Daddy, I can't see you." And her father shouted back at her and he said, "Don't worry, honey, I can see you." Every Christian conversion declares the same thing. Take a step of faith, God said. I will hold you up. God says, I can see you. I will take care of you. I will hold you up. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for that faith. Living in the power of the Spirit that we come before you this day at Pentecost. Allow us to have that same fire, that same Spirit that dwelt that day. Allow it to consume us. Allow it to just consume our heart and our soul. And just allow us to be on fire because, as Miss Billy said this morning, you know, the fire was amongst everybody and it was leaping from person to person, but they were not burning up. It was like the burning bush that Moses saw. It was being consumed. It was a fire, but nothing happened. The bush still stayed ablaze, and it did not burn up. It was a fire when the Lord spoke to Moses. It was a fire when the Spirit dwelt among them. It is a fire that burns within the heart and the soul, a fire that tells us to go, to do, to be, a fire that calls us each and every day a fire that calls us always to be about your business. Lord, this day, allow us to go from this place as people who have come through the waters of baptism, have come to the foot of the cross, have come and give our heart and our soul, and have come willing to go and do and be. We come wanting a new fresh wind, a fresh fire, a fresh hope to be upon us this day. Be with us now, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.